report from MRI. Our final speaker of the session will be Brian Becker, and he'll introduce his collaborator Brian Fricke, I guess, and he's in the group. And he'll be speaking on green, sustainable, energy-efficient, cost-effective refrigerated storage facilities. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you, Rob. First, let me acknowledge my co-investigator, Dr. Brian Fricke. He always does at least half of the work. So, all right, let's see if I can get this thing rolling. There we go. I got all the buzzwords in there. Green, sustainable, energy efficient, cost effective, refrigerated storage facilities. These are warehouses, refrigerated warehouses. And these warehouses provide a vital link in the cold chain that extends from the farmer to the consumer. And they operate in the temperatures there of minus 10 for the freezer part, and maybe in the 30, 35 degrees for the commodity storage, fresh vegetables and what have you, and then 40 degrees or so in the dock area. These refrigeration system runs then is powered by electrical energy. And they are significant users of electrical energy. The USDA in 2006 estimated that there were 3.21 billion cubic feet of refrigerated facilities in the US, 3.21 billion cubic feet, and growing at the rate of 1% per year. And in 1999, DOE estimated that the energy usage of these facilities is 17 billion kilowatt hours per year, 17 billion kilowatt hours per year. It's a lot of energy. And so the idea here is to any type of incremental improvements that we can make will have a large effect on a nationwide scale. And so that's the idea of the project. The goal is increased energy conservation and environmental stewardship in the refrigerated warehouse industry. And we intend to do this by developing a best practices green guide for the engineers and the contractors and the facility owners and operators. And then to develop a research program to give seminars and what have you to those folks so that they can make use of what we've put together. And so what does this mean, you know, all these words put together? This green, sustainable, energy-efficient warehouse maintains a safe and appropriate environment for the storage of perishable food items. It limits its impact on the Earth's natural resources, including both energy and water. It employs elegant, simple, passive design and engineering solutions, simple things, really, that people overlook in the design of these facilities. The annual refrigeration loads are reduced to a minimum. The refrigeration equipment would be robust and maintainable with a minimum amount of effort. The refrigerants would be environmentally friendly. They would have low ozone depletion potential, low global warming potential, but yet they should be also minimize the annual energy consumption. So there's a bit of an optimization problem involved there. So what do these things look like? I'm going to try to find a pointer here. Whenever I touch the screen mouse, the thing advances to the next page, and maybe this one would work. I can try using this thing and see if that'll do.
Okay. I think the when it's in this mode, it doesn't have the cursor.
Okay.
If you wanted to come out of show mode, it probably would.
Okay.
Oh, there it does. No,
This one over here. I've got one of these, but then I'm only going to sit. You folks will have to do without. I can't see it too well that way either. These facilities have an area here. This is where the commodities would be. This is like 35 degrees. Then there would be on this area would be the freezer area. It would be minus 10 degrees, and they maintain that temperature year round. So this is winter. 12 months a year. Over here will be a blast freezer facility where there would be high velocity cold air that would be used to quick freeze new product as it's brought in. And then out here we've got the loading dock, an enclosed refrigerated dock. There would be doors here that would keep, that would close off between the storage area and this dock area. And that's important to stop infiltration. Here's where we would have the trucks would back up. And these little squares here are supposed to represent cushions that are around the garage door, so to speak, where the refrigerated trucks back up, so that it maintains a weather seal there and stops the infiltration. So here's what some of these things look like. So here we've got one. These are all garage doors, single car garage doors where the refrigerated truck would back up. We can see the cushions around there a little bit. So this is the outside of one of these. This would be the loading dock, the refrigerated dock area. And then back over here is the storage area and an aerial view of one of these things. We're looking at things that are about 50,000 square foot of plain area. So what kind of things are we going to focus on in this green guide? Well, first is sustainable structural design. Then something about refrigeration design, natural refrigerants, load calculations. This is important because usually these things are designed to meet the peak load with no idea about how that load is during the day or during the year or during the growing season, okay? And then we would also talk about energy use and facility management, where we would try to make use of these incremental load calculations. We'll see some of that coming up. So let's look. Sustainable structure design, what would that include? That would include the general layout and the sizing. That would be the use of the available local natural environment to benefit the facility, but also to limit the facility's impact on the environment. There would something like about building orientation and the microclimate in that area, building configurations. We would do some planning with the energy, the end user activities. What kind of growing season, what kind of product will they be storing there? A traffic flow analysis to optimize material handling systems so that, you know, if you're going to be moving a lot of meat through this facility, you want to store that to the front. You don't want to, you know, drive your forklift trucks a half a mile to go get your hamburger to ship it out. And then there'll be specific aspects of the building envelope, the walls, roofs, floors, doors, environmentally preferable building materials. We'll talk a little bit about insulation, vapor retarder, infiltration reduction, thermal mass, cool high albedo exteriors. That means ones with high reflectivity that can reflect a lot of solar load, and then some other passive solar technologies. I can't cover all this stuff in 20 minutes, so we're just going to touch on a few things. If you want to know more about it, I could recommend a good book here by a couple of guys, Becker and Fricke, that you could read all about it there. So here's a green tip, something to do with building orientation. Many times buildings are built so that they look pretty from the street, and with no regard for the microclimate. And what we found, and it's been reported in the literature, that by orienting this refrigerated dock so that it does not face into the prevailing wind, then you can reduce the infiltration. When that garage door opens and that truck is backing up, you can reduce that infiltration. That reduces the refrigeration load. Every time you get some warm, moist air in there, you've got to cool that air. All that moisture is eventually going to collect on the evaporator surface. So now you've got to defrost your evaporators, which means you heat them up to melt the condensation off of there. Then you've got to, again, start up the refrigeration system and take all that heat back out again. So you can greatly reduce your energy costs by watching the infiltration and reducing the infiltration. So here's a little quick slide here to give some idea about infiltration. It takes about 5 seconds for this kind of flow pattern to develop when the doors are open. We got the cold, you know, air that's heavy. It comes out at the bottom. The warm, moist air comes in at the top. We're talking minus 10 degrees in here. We get snow, rain, ice on the floor, ice on the walls, ice on the ceiling. It's dangerous. Forklift trucks are going in and out. They're trying to carry a load. They run into each other. It's dangerous. And here's some examples. Here we can see, you know, the warm air coming in and fogging up here. We see the ice down here on the bottom by the floor. On this side, this looks like an iceberg, right? We've got snow and ice all over the refrigerated facility there. There's probably some strip curtains there, some plastic strip curtains to help cut down on that infiltration. That's why it's so frosted there. But you can see it's like an iceberg up above here. So doors are the problem, but then they are also, you know, they are directly linked to the productivity, right? If you build a facility with no doors and you're not selling any product, you're going to go out of business real fast. So there's a trade-off between how many doors you have and the energy costs that each one of those doors costs you, okay? Infiltration into the deck, into the loading docks, about 50% of the total refrigeration load. And you can minimize that by minimizing the door opening and closing cycles, maximizing the speeds with which those things move. You can minimize a door opening size, so they're just the right size to get your loaded forklift through there. These doors all have door seals around them, but at minus 10 degrees, the door seals become stiff and frozen, so they don't seal anymore. So you put some heating strips inside the door seals to keep them warm so they're pliable. And then you want to put these seals that go between the truck body and the loading dock to keep the infiltration there. And we can look at some other devices here, air curtains, vestibules, and fast-acting doors. So here's some pictures. Here's this one over here is the air curtain. What we've got is jets of air shooting across here. That's not real effective, but it's better than nothing. The next thing might be fast-acting doors. These are like some kind of flexible doors, and they can move up and down in a matter of seconds as the forklift truck approaches. The best thing, of course, is a vestibule. This is like the refrigerated area. Out here would be the loading dock. There'd be an outside wall over here. But it's got two doors that don't open at the same time. So as the forklift approaches, one door opens, it goes in, that door closes. It's like an airlock. And then the other door would open and it would go on out. So that's one area. Another area is water vapor transmission. The building envelope must prevent this water vapor migration from the outside to the inside. Failure to prevent this water vapor migration results in increased energy costs. We have to have more defrost cycles that we discussed before. And also the refrigeration within the wall, that is the insulation within the wall, becomes damaged by the condensation. Could be structural damage occur, biological growth within the wall, and then ice formation. So it's very important, you know, to keep the vapor out of the wall. So what we might do is some vapor retarder. This is a little bit different than your home or your office building. Here we're going to put the vapor retarder on the outside. We're going to put it on the warm side of the building, right? And the inside is going to be minus 10 degrees all year round. So we want to put the vapor retarder on the outside. The idea here is that it keeps the water vapor pressure within the wall less than the saturation pressure of water for that temperature. And it must encompass the entire building with no gaps or discontinuities, except around a doorway or someplace. And so here we see an example where there was a rupture in the vapor retarder. The wall is intact, but here we've got moisture that's coming through the wall, and we've got an iceberg growing here. And this, you know, maybe you can see it over there. Maybe it's a little bit harder, probably washed out a bit at the but it's just the tip of the iceberg. There's all kinds of ice inside that wall, and the roof cavity, the roof might be, you know, being buckled and what have you on top. So this is very important in these type of structures. Another thing we might want to talk about in terms of wall ceilings and insulation is that the permeability increases toward the cold interior, so that any water, any vapor that happens to get in there eventually is going to get inside and be collected then on the evaporator surface. You don't want it trapped within the wall. And you don't want to have ice formation. Oh boy, I'm running out of time. We got all kinds of things we could talk about in terms of roofs. We got 50,000 square foot of roof, and there's a significant solar load. They have developed granular materials that have a high reflectivity and emittance, And here we show in Sacramento, California, at 89 degrees, a comparison of the two types. This is a plastic rubber roof, 173 degrees. And here we've got one, a cool roof, high reflectivity roof, at 108 degrees. So it makes quite a bit of difference in the heat transmission. Another idea is a solar roof. You've got 50,000 square feet. You could put a lot of solar panels up there. Refrigerated dock design, again, is an important area. During the loading and unloading of the trucks, they have to maintain the refrigerated environment inside the truck body. And usually that's done with the refrigeration system on board to the truck. But if you provide an overhang, an extended overhang over that area where the truck is parked so that it removes the solar load from the truck body, that would greatly reduce the energy use. Also, the use of these insulated ceiling cushions between the truck and the dock door. The refrigerated system design, the main thing here is that we would like to do efficient piping design to minimize the delta P in the piping, and also use high efficiency and variable speed drives for the compressors and evaporators and condenser fans and fluid pumps so that we can do some incremental matched load matching with those equipment. Some use of natural refrigerants. Ammonia has been used as a refrigerant in these type of facilities for years, and it is probably the best refrigerant that we have going today. It has a low ozone depletion potential, no global warming potential, high refrigerating capacity. The only thing is it's poison, and we can't breathe it for very long. So then you might couple that with a carbon dioxide system that also has low ozone depleting potential and negligible global warming potential. And you would use this on the high temperature side, this one on the low temperature side in the food area or where the workers might be, so that if there was a leak, it would not affect the workers. Load calculations, I'm gonna go real quick here. Load calculations, the idea here is to do these incremental load calculations, to do it time dependent and also dependent upon the season and the yearly cycle, the weekly cycle, the daily cycles of the place, when the commodities are brought in. And the idea of that is so that you can do then incremental sizing of the compressors and the evaporators and the condensers to track the variations in refrigeration load so that you're not running a huge system when you don't need that kind of load. And here's where you would make use of your computer-based energy management system to control the incremental refrigeration equipment. Something about energy use and facility management. You want to keep track of where the energy is being spent, and maybe you can go back and find some areas that need to be worked on, some changes that you could do that would be cost effective. Another thing is commissioning and periodic recommissioning. Commissioning basically at the time the building was built means that everything is checking everything that it's working correctly. That should be done. We also should worry about the refrigeration equipment when we start it up, that we don't start it too quickly, because if you pull this building down from 80 degrees to minus 10, you can cave the roof in, cave the walls in, because the pressure drop that occurs. And I have some photos of that, but we'll go on. The other thing that we might want to talk about is thermographic scans. These are infrared images of the building, and that would be gives you a qualitative measure of the thermal performance of the insulated envelope, and identifies areas of low or high thermal emission. So here we have a roof wall junction that's on fire. There's some problem with the insulation there. So you can see the heat that's escaping. This is a thermographic scan of that, a photograph of the outside of that building. You can see, or the inside of the building rather, you can see the heat pouring in where the insulation is there. And here's a loading dock, and here we've got here's a dead guy that was run over by the Honda Element. No, this is cold air that's spilling out of the dock door. And so this thermographic scan will show you those type of things and give you some hints as to where you might save some energy there. Let's see, here are some other energy strategies. We could use the hot gas from the compressor discharge that you would normally send to the condenser to do some underfloor heating. These buildings are minus 10 degrees all the time. If you don't heat the soil underneath that floor, it will buckle. and the foundation will move and the building will fall down. And so you have to heat that soil underneath, and you by running maybe some glycol solution through there to keep it from freezing. Because if this building runs for 5 or 10 years, it's always minus 10 degrees, that frost is going to go right on down. It'll freeze the soil there all the way down and draw moisture out of the soil. So you could use some hot gas that you would normally, some heat that you would normally dump to the environment, you can use to heat the water that circulates under your floor. Some other things you might do is don't keep your forklifts outside. Minimize the use of any equipment that goes inside and outside. Don't keep it in a 90 degree heat and then drive it inside your facility. Minimize the evaporator defrost time and frequency. That just has to do with infiltration. And you want to put some, this again has to, the evaporator fan controls has to do with the variable speed and the load calculations. Let's see if that. Oh yes, and again, there's the book that, in case you want to read more about it. Now I've got more slides, but we should stop.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any questions? We'll lose the room in 9 minutes, but we have time for a couple minutes of questions.
I have a question. Regarding tax incentives for upgrading your energy efficiency, what type of incentives exist currently?
I think what I'm getting, I'm not hearing real well, but I think what you're asking me, are there any incentives? I don't really know about that. There could be, but I don't know. Yes, sir.
What is a typical R value of the wall of the ceiling that you use in these facilities? And then do you have insulation through the floor area?
Yes. The floor one I can show you quickly. So that's sort of what the floor might look like, right? We've got there's a concrete slab at the top, and then there's insulation here, vapor barrier, some base, and then here's where we'd have some sand and the pipes with the heating. Okay, now as far as the R values, do we know anything about R values?
I don't know the R value, but it's in the book.
It's in the book, but I don't know the number right off. But we could, afterwards, we could.
What type of insulation is it?
I would.
Thank you very much. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, but maybe could you connect
sure.
a quick question? But we're going to have to free the room. That's the only thing.
I'll be glad to answer questions afterwards. We can probably do better that way anyway.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I think I got what I need, right?
We're good. Well, I'd like to thank all the speakers in this session. They were all very, very good. And so a little applause, please, for the speakers throughout the session. Please be sure and pick up an evaluation and give us your feedback so we can improve this when you do it next year. And thank you all for attending. The next session here starts in about 5 minutes. Thank you.